It sounds like hell.
I mean, the question that it raises in my mind is this one. It sounds... What do you love about editing?
When it works. When you get it right. When you get it right.
And how's that happen?
As everyone said, I think it's all been said.
It's true. It's like I was talking to someone the other day, cutting a scene. It's like I'm trying to juggle a plate on a stick. You know, you've seen the Chinese opera.
Yeah.
You start doing it, it falls down, and you try things, and it falls down, and then suddenly, for no reason that you can really work out, it's just spinning. Do you ever find that?
Mm.
And why? Mm.
So it's that, is that
second one.
And then you put it aside. That's right. Then you put it aside and then start again.
Right, and you start again, and then when you come back to it, does it still...
Never.
You put them together.
Almost never.
They knock each other over, and you have to...
Well, underneath, you know, you see things that, you know, with a fresh eye. That
right.
Usually I find mortifying than bad. But.
So what do you love about it, Danny?
I love everything about it.
Everything?
Yeah. I mean, more the question would be, what don't you like about it?
All right, let's have it. What don't you like about it?
I don't know. I just think this could be a whinge. It could become a whinge. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because the thing is, everybody here in this room in some way is very dedicated to editing. I'm very, you know, I love it. It's magic. I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out if there's something else that I can say about the magic. And it's very difficult, you know, to find those things. But I think that there's a kind of a... something really revealing about the parts of the process that individual editors really get sucked into. Or, you know, when you think about the best job that you've ever had... you know, your favorite cutting process, what was that like? What went on there that made it like, this is it, this is why I'm in the job? Can you remember anything that's like, it was like this, and then it was like that, and something changed? What's been your favorite kind of work that you've done? Is it always your last thing, the last thing that worked that's your favorite?
I think it's really fabulous when you screen something and you get a reaction from people, whether people laugh or they cry or they just really like it.
Right.
That's fantastic, because I think we're probably all editors because we want a fair amount of a validation from people.
Okay.
You know, we're quite needy creatures.
So
it's very nice when people like your work, and it's very nice when people are emotionally affected by your work.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I mean, in documentary, if they get it, you know, it's just wonderful. You know, if they get something you hope they get, you know, they do. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Because quite often it's a very fine line.
And how often are you right that this is going to work and you put it in front of someone and it does?
Oh, if I get it, really. If I cry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're that audience.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
Emotionally in connect with it, and they do too.
Do you cry when you cut?
Yes,
I do too.
And do you dream what you're cutting? Does it haunt you? Does it stay in your...
No, not really. No.
You're able to walk away?
I have to turn away from the director often.
Can I just go backtrack to assistants?
Yeah.
One thing that I worry about is when I was an assistant, it was back in the days of film, so I was always in a room with an editor because all the trims were hanging in bins, and if he or she needed one, you had to be there to find it, and therefore I'm standing there and I'm watching, and I was lucky enough to be an assistant in New York with incredible editors who had the most amazing credits. And they were like sort of carrying on this classic Hollywood tradition of how things should be done. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing there and I'm watching, and they're talking to me and saying, oh, look at this, you know, do you know why I did this? And it was just an incredible... I mean, I went to film school for 3 years, but I learned more in 3 months, you know, working with these incredible editors. But there's no one in that position with us. There's no one that I'm passing that on to. Because they're in another room syncing up rushes on a computer.
On another computer.
Mm. I mean, I can get people to cut things and then give them feedback.
Right.
but it's not the same as, you know, watching someone with a director, watching wonderful editors with directors. And
so there's this thing that's happening that you're looking at something and it's not working, and you go back and you try it again and it works a bit better, and you go back and you do something else. And in a sense, what you're saying is the assistant can only really learn from that by watching it happen.
Well,
it's not like you can't.
What
say
naturally happens is these people talk. The editor talks to the assistant because
right.
they get excited.
Right.
And they say, "Look at this! Isn't this fantastic?" I remember scenes,
yes.
moments, particular shots from 40 years ago.
Right.
You know, the people 40 years ago, 30 years ago. you know, vividly.
Yeah.
Of the excitement of the editor explaining what it was that was so great about what they were doing, and you know, there's no one there when I have those moments.
Do you write them down?
I'll come in.
Yeah. Anybody want any volunteers? Yeah, I think there'd be a lot of people who would love to do that. I mean, I guess there's a financial impediment to doing that. There's nobody to pay that person.
Yeah,
to just
there's no need for them to be.
I wasn't there
because I to get taught. I was there
right.
to find trims.
Yeah. So you could, but you could, you were able with that analog system to find trims and learn at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can't do that now. Mm-hmm. So what do you reckon we should replace it with?
Don't know.
More cutting? Get those people to keep cutting themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Showing stuff.
But back in those days, there were rules about how things should be done.
Yes.
So, the first time I cut something for an editor, there was a series called The Equalizer. Do you remember that? With
yes.
Edward Woodward. You're probably too young.
Edward Woodward.
And it was all done by Hollywood editors in New York. You know, people had done The Godfather, The Cotton Club, all sorts of stuff. And so one day one of them asked me to cut a scene. So I cut the scene and he just ripped it apart.
Oh.
Said, don't do this, don't do that.
Right.
You know, so now, of course, there are no rules like that anymore.
There might be in Hollywood still.
No, but I'm grateful that I learned all that because I still bring it to what I'm doing.
Right.
And I know when I'm not doing that, why.
Right. Yeah, what rules you're breaking.
Mm.
Any rules in documentary?
They're probably the same rules, really.
Same rules?
I'd say so.
And do they hold up?
I think so.
Any you can think of? What are some of these rules?
Well, like jump cutting.
Jump cutting, you would never do that.
Well, even though that was being done in the 50s in France, but we weren't doing that in the 80s in America.
Yeah. In the 90s we started doing that in America. Yeah. Denny's, are there different rules in Hollywood than there are in Australia or in television?
I think
there are
different, I mean, not being the wealth of all experience of that, but I think if you brought up as an editor in Hollywood, you're trained, much like Nick is talking about, and whether it's non-linear or in a linear fashion, and I think, I mean, you grow up working on budget films,
mm-hmm.
so I think you learn different skills. I look at people like Mike McCusker, who came out here and did was one of the editors on Australia, and his experience was assisting on things like Silver Surfer or Independence Day. And so thus he was very equipped to cut a Captain America or a Spider-Man or something because
mm-hmm.
he'd had that level of experience as an assistant.
Right.
I mean, we don't make those $200 million films here, so our editors don't have that experience. We
right.
have a different experience.
Different experience.
I'm not saying it's positive or negative, I'm just,
right.
sort of
it's just we're
observing it, it's just different.
A range of things that we're exposed to, that we get good at, that we can apply a quick eye and an easy sense of flow to different kinds of material, struggle more with.
That's not to say none of us could do it. I mean,
no.
Do it. You know.
Yeah.
It's just
no.
Interesting how they're trained.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
And
so
because it's mainly union over there, there's a there's an apprenticeship system
yeah.
where you don't just suddenly go, I think I'll edit.
Right. Which we get more and more. I mean, and certainly in the independent sector in America as well as in Australia, you know, I think I'll edit. I'll get Final Cut Pro.
Mm. But as Alex and everyone's pointed out, it takes a long time. I mean, there is an intuition that you have, a natural intuition, but it also you learn think the more you do it, the more you learn, the
yes.
more experience mm. you have, and the more you know how to approach a situation. It may, and as Alex also said, you approach every edit with incredible terror.
Right.
But you also carry experience.
Right. So can you just think about and maybe articulate some of the things that you have learned over the time that you've edited? I mean, so maybe learned about approaching material, or learned about storytelling, or the things that you think, I mean, of course we have the terror when we reach a new project, but you think, look, I'll be able to get past this terror, I'll be able to manage it, because at least I know.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think what I've learned is as soon as you think you know what you're doing, you're screwed.
Because the material will come and bite you on the bum?
Well, because it's just, yeah, it's too hard, and it is that terror, but yes, it does help that you've worked through the terror before.
Yes.
You come out the other side, and you know you will, so that
so
you
what,
still
so
go
what
through, but you know you'll come out the other side.
It's not what to do, but that you will survive,
yeah.
the not knowing. Okay, all right, cool. Yeah. What are you better at than you were when you started?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
So, like what?
Finding solutions. Editing's a lot about problem solving,
okay.
because things are never quite what you'd expect them to be from the script or what the director expected.
Okay.
So you're constantly finding things that don't fit together the way they were intended.
Right.
And working out how to fit them together so that it looks as if they were meant to go together that way. I mean, I think that's...
Okay.
So it's seamless, you know.
So making... solving problems, making things seamless.
Yeah.
Stronger, are you able to connect to find things more quickly? And more
well, experience tells you where to look first.
Where to look first?
For a solution.
Okay.
But that's, it can be dangerous too, because sometimes the oddest solution that seems ridiculous is what works.
And so that's where that thing kicks in, where if you think you know what you're doing, that's when you're
yeah.
screwed, because you think, oh, well, experience tells me I can look over here and find a solution, and you do it, and that... traps you into something.
Yeah, but I had an experience many years ago with Christine Olsen, who, you know, she wrote
yeah.
and produced Rabbit Proof Fence, and we were doing a documentary, and with her partner, Curtis Levy, who's we were both quite experienced, and she was saying, why don't you just do this, try this? And we were saying, that'll never work. And this went on, the third time she said it, I said, okay.
Okay.
And it worked. and I just thought, I'll bank that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
just
you do bank
never...
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Never say that something
never
won't
say
work.
It won't work.
Mm.
Give it a go.
Mm. And if it doesn't work, something will come out of it that will work. That's what
yeah.
I find
that's
too.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
So
yeah,
these things that are unworking, they're all unworking in different ways, and you can go, oh.
I think it's about just not putting limitations.
Okay.
And saying and setting boundaries for yourself.
Okay. So the notion that there's some rule, it'll have to be this way, that's actually an impediment. You need to go, like, I don't know how it's going to be. Stay open.
Unless
to
it works.
Yeah.
Unless. So, what are we saying? Rules won't work unless they work. Is that what we're saying? All right, so problem solving, but the problems are going to be different, or are you starting to see over time the same kinds of problems are going to rise up?
Oh, they're always the same problems.
Yeah.
Always the same problems. Can you tell us about the
well,
problems?
Well, everyone's been talking about them.
Time, money. But in the actual material, do you think people are, you know, missing the dramatic moments or misdirecting or...
Storytelling. Well,
storytelling.
Yeah.
I think actors seem to be getting less disciplined, it seems
oh,
to
really?
Me. Because...
In drama.
30 years ago, basically things were shot with one camera,
right?
And they had to know their continuity.
They had to know where the camera
the,
was,
the,
and where the line is.
They had to know
yeah.
when to pick up their glass of wine. I mean, they had to.
Right.
But now, people coming along have come up through soapies, and you know, where there's multiple cameras, and you can do whatever you like in it.
Right.
It matters less.
It matters less.
So I'm finding
yeah.
that's getting harder.
Are audiences more tolerant to that kind of lack of discipline? Do audiences
yeah,
care less about continuity? Or
hope so.
Well, if it distracts a scene, it's terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, sometimes you're so involved in the emotion of something that you don't notice
mm-hmm.
little things like that. But I cut a scene in Packed to the Rafters. There was an episode where one of the characters was killed in a car accident, and there's a scene in the morgue where it was beautifully done. Chris Martin Jones directed it, and the camera's coming in behind the husband of the woman that's killed, and he goes in and he sees the body, and the guy pulls back we don't see it, and the director and I were sitting there weeping at this beautiful thing, and he had an attachment with them, and after we were sitting there, it was so beautiful. The attachment said, "Is there any reason why you've shown that dummy's face?"
Oh no.
And we hadn't even noticed. And I had watched it 15 times.
15 times and been so carried by the emotion.
Yeah.
And did you leave it in?
No.
No. And do you think the emotion suffered? You had to take it.
Did
it
a little
out?
Bit, yeah, actually.
Yeah.
But it's still good.
Yeah.
I mean, I just did a film where I say you've got two over the shoulders, and the actress has her hand up like that on
yeah.
one side, and on the other side she doesn't. And I hadn't noticed.
Right.
I had gone with the emotional continuity of the scene.
Right.
And it was only sort of close to the last 2 weeks I suddenly looked and I thought, oh my God.
Yes.
Her hands up, her hands down, her hands up. We looked at all the other takes and none of them had the emotional integrity.
Right.
So guess what? Her hands up, her hands down, her hands up.
Right.
I don't care.
And you don't care.
I just care that you're in the moment in the scene.
Right.
And that to me was the most important thing.
Yeah.
Because the other takes were not as strong.
Not as strong.
That's not as bad as a plastic dummy head.
No, it's not as bad as a plastic dummy head. I'm just competing.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
Let's see who can do best here.
Well, there's a dialogue scene in Top Gun between Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis.
Yeah.
That every cut, the continuity
is.
I think he goes to her. I haven't seen it since it came out, but it's funny. It must have been really bad if you noticed it in the theatre. But every cut.
Every cut
is
wrong.
Yeah. But obviously that's what all they had.
Yeah, film did okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't hurt Tom Cruise. Might have hurt Kelly McGillis, though. We don't know.
Yeah.
She has not been working at the same rate. So what do you reckon about your life as editors? Has it been a good experience?
Oh, fantastic.
Would you do it all over again?
I'd be a merchant banker.
Would you?
Okay.
I'm gonna say, whoa.
No, you'd marry one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good life.
Yeah.
It's worth
it. Can be a little bit insecure.
It can be.
That's the only
thing.
Yes. Financially, emotionally,
yeah.
Both.
Financially.
Yeah. How do you manage that? Is that get a partner with a job or just
you manage it?
You just manage it.
Yeah. But it is insecure.
It is insecure.
It's very insecure.
And would you do something else if you could?
I don't know how to do anything else.
Yeah, no, that wasn't the question. If you could. Like, okay, so it turns out you're all really good at merchant banking as well. What are you going to do?
Feel guilty.
Yeah. Hedge funds.
Well, we're basically out of time.
I know.
So I'm just wondering if you have anything that you would like to say to particularly the young people gathered here today, the young editors, things, advice, love letters, words of warning, summative statements. Would you let your children be editors?
Well, I don't have any. So
there you go.
I don't either. I mean, but if I did, I would.
You would?
Yeah.
And you think it's
yes,
a good thing
I would
to do?
Too.
Yeah.
My youngest daughter teaches year one at Chatswood Public School.
Okay.
And runs a film festival there called Chats Fest.
Okay, nice.
And their kids all make films, and she makes films with them.
And she makes films with them.
Do you help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm a judge as well, so that sounds quite corrupt, actually.
All right, well, look, we're going to wrap it up, and I just really want to thank you three, and Andrea, and Fiona, and Alex. It's been really energizing and enlivening to hear from you all, and very inspiring. So Thank you very much for the good fight.
And we'd like to thank you
very much
for your fabulous contribution. And we'd just like to give you, Mark would like to present you with this.